Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown. Out on the edge of the prairie. We've had snow out there. We had about a foot and a half of snow here this last week. It just sort of killed some people. They're just tired of winter, but it snowed anyway, despite their objections. And it came down. Donnie Peterson was out helping people who got stuck in the snow. He read an article somewhere about a man who helped a woman who got stuck in the snow, and she bought him some coffee, and they had conversation, and she told him that she was single and she had no kids, and her one big dream was to go to the Grand Canyon, and she didn't want to go alone, and he offered to go with her. And so they went, and when they came back, they were engaged, and they were married, and they lived happily ever after for a few years. Donnie Peterson read this story, and it inspired him, and so he's been out helping people, though they're not interested in marriage, any of them, and when he's met them, he hasn't been interested either, and he's had the flu this last week, and that does not put you in a romantic mood. He's been achy, felt like he'd been hit by a truck, but nonetheless, romance does not die easily, even out there on the frozen tundra. I've come out here to San Diego, not to get away from there, but to meet up with people who have relatives back in Minnesota. A number of Norwegians made their way out to San Diego, and it's interesting to come and see them. There are a few there. There are more, but those are the ones who are willing to admit to it. No, the ones who came to Lake Wobegon, you see, the Norwegians, they came over and they lost their language. They lost their status in the world. They were academics, they were politicians, they were theologians, and they came to America, and suddenly their language was gone, which enabled them to be sarcastic and to maintain social status in the social order. And suddenly they went from being high to being nobody. So they came to Lake Wobegon, which was full of Norwegians, so they could still speak Norwegian. And they formed the Sons of Canute Lodge, and they had all of these medals and sashes and plumes to indicate their status within the lodge. And so they maintained this battle of male egos for several generations, which made this lodge very unattractive to their sons. And so there they were, and they tried to maintain their status that they had had in Norway. Whereas the Norwegians who came to San Diego found nobody who spoke Norwegian, and so they were cast down. They went down to the bottom. But when you're at the bottom, you can always work your way up, you see. You can't if you are just working off of delusions of grandeur. But if you're truly at the bottom, you've got your feet on something, and you can work your way up. And so Hjalmar Peterson came out here. He'd been a politician and a member of the Folketinget back in Oslo, and he came here, and he became a ship's carpenter. And then his son became a dentist, and then his son commanded a destroyer. And then his son became a poet. So that's the order of things, how it goes. You go from truly useful work into management and then into delusion again. And that's how it goes. Pastor Liz is tired of telling people about her vacation. She spent 3 weeks out in Carmel, California, and she's just tired. She gives very short answers to questions about what she was doing and who she saw and who she was with and so forth. And those, of course, only arouse more curiosity. The life of a single female pastor is an object of great curiosity. And who is she dating? And who is she seeing? Or is she gay? Or what's going on here? People are curious. They just want to know. She gets all the social life that she wants from the church, if the truth be told. She gives her all to the church, and then she's ready to spend time alone, although she does enjoy going down to the sidetrack tap, and she hangs out with those old guys down there, those old drunks and those old reprobates. She likes to be around them. She walks in, she buys a pitcher of beer, she shares it with other people, she'll maybe put a few quarters in the jukebox, and she'll play some Waylon and some Willie, she'll play Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain, she'll play I Never Go Around Mirrors, she may dance a little bit. If an old coot comes up and wants to dance with her, she'll dance with him. She doesn't mind. She doesn't mind dirty jokes at all. She doesn't mind digs at the church. She likes these people. It's very sociable, very comradely. That's her social life. And then she goes out and she makes her rounds, and she goes out to visit the shut-ins, and she goes around to check up on the Norwegian bachelor farmers who hibernate over the winter. They shut themselves up in their shacks, and they put some coal and some wood in the stove, and they make a nest by the stove, and they pile quilts on themselves, and their dogs get in close around them. And they will sleep for 20, 22, 23 hours at a time, just getting up now and then to put some more wood on the fire and to go outdoors and pee, and then to come back in and have some Ritz crackers and cheese, and they go back to sleep. So she goes out to check on them to make sure that they're all right. Not that they're parishioners, they're not, but they're human beings, and she cares about them. She walks up towards the shack. You can hear that they are breathing about 200 yards away. You can hear them. It's like trombone solos. And so she walks in and she brings a little treat for the dogs, and she puts some wood on the fire, and she leaves them some banana bread in a cupboard, and she says a little prayer over them, and she walks away. She gave the sermon last Sunday. It was on the Gospel of Matthew, the verse in chapter 5, which says to love your enemies and do good to them that persecute you, which is a very troublesome verse. She said, no, she said, it's true. She said, this was Jesus' commandment. We're to do this. Easy to love people who are nice to you. Anybody can do that. You have to love those who have caused you pain. Don't turn away from them. Love those who cause you pain. So Marilyn Hedlund went home after church, and she called up her daughter Cindy, who's down in the cities. Not an enemy exactly, but somebody who has caused her pain. Over the years, Cindy, who's hooked up with one loser after another, she lived with a homeless man for about 3-4 years down in the cities. He was a musician, and not a lot of opportunity for a jazz bassoonist, but he didn't seem to notice as long as she took care of him. And then she got involved with a man who was making a hobby out of crystal meth for 4 or 5 years. He needed her, and she liked to be needed, but it took her a long time to shed Larry. And then she moved in with this guy, who's a novelist. He's written 5 of them, none of them published so far. He always feels like he's just on the verge of getting one published. And dogs who chase cars have that same feeling, too. They success seems imminent. Those wheels are right up there. Oh, why does she live with these losers? Marilyn wonders. And then it dawned on her this Sunday, calling Cindy. Maybe this is a form of loving your enemy, living with somebody. Maybe that's all marriage is loving your enemy. You need to be loved. You need to be loved. So you snuggle up close to somebody for a few years. And gradually, over time, you get to see the worst of them, and they see the worst of you. They know your worst points better than your worst enemies do. They've seen how cruel and how small-minded you can be, and how silly and inconsequential you may be. And they know all the worst things, and you know the worst things about you, and there you are. You're lying next to them. You're lying next to this intimate enemy of yourself, your worst critic, right there in bed with you. Maybe that's what love is. Clinton, Irene Bunsen, a disagreeing voice from the back of the hall. He just did that to impress somebody he's with there. Good to hear a minority voice. Clinton, Irene Bunsen were out at the Moonlight Bay Supper Club celebrating their 38th wedding anniversary. If celebrate would be the word, they went out there. They ordered the same meal that they ordered 38 years ago when he asked her to marry him. He wasn't sure that he asked her, but she seemed to think that he had, and so it was the same thing. He ordered the ribeye, she ordered the deep-fried walleye, and they sat there. Moonlight Bay Supper Club has not changed all that much in all these years. They sat there, and they had the same argument that they had 38 years ago. They just resumed it, except from different sides. 38 years ago, she was a believer. She believed in God, and she believed that the Bible was inspired of God, and he was a skeptic. And then over the years, she sort of swung over. And as she has swung over towards skepticism, he felt uneasy that she was agreeing with him. And so now he's come around to becoming a radical Orthodox conservative. He was going to move to California. 38 years ago, he was on his way. He would have gone, except his dad had a heart attack and needed him to stay and run the garage. And so he stayed, and that's when he met Irene, and that's how they came to get married. She said to him at supper, she said, "You would have had a very different life if you'd gone to California. You might have been happier." He said, "Well, happiness isn't all it's cracked up to be." He said, "Are you happy?" She said, "Of course." He said, "No, I mean it. Are you happy?" She said, "I'm happy enough. Happy enough for the purpose." Wasn't sure what she meant by it. Wasn't sure he wanted to know. They don't give each other gifts anymore, but she gave him a card. It said, "Love is an ever-fixed mark that looks on tempests and is not shaken. It is the star to every wandering bark whose height has not been taken. Love alters not with its brief hours nor weeks, but bears it out to the edge of doom." Well, so it's the star to every wandering bark. That's good. That's good. Their bark has been wandering lost on the sea for years now. They're both of them lost, but they're lost together. And the star is still up in the sky, so they can see how lost they are. But it's up there. It's up there. You can see it yourself, even in San Diego. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.